This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has a proposal for a taxpayer-financed universal health care program. It's called Medicare for All, and basically it would expand Medicare to include all Americans. It's part of his effort to have the Democratic Party adopt more progressive policies on a number of social and economic issues. Last week, VPR's Bob Kinzel spoke to political analyst Eric Davis about the Sanders agenda. He started by asking Davis about the purpose of the push for the Medicare for All proposal, given that Senator Sanders is fully aware the plan has no chance of passing a GOP-controlled Congress.
This campaign is not a campaign to get a bill passed. It's a campaign to raise people's consciousness about the issue of health care, let more people know about single payer as a possible solution. And it's also connected with Bernie Sanders' attempts to move the Democratic Party in a more progressive direction for the 2018 midterm cycle and then the 2020 presidential election. He's basing his plan on the existing Medicare plan, which is very popular among seniors. And as Sanders noted, Medicare is funded by a combination of payroll taxes, general revenue, and contributions from the recipients. But it is a model that's well accepted, and particularly as people get older and approach the age of 65, they understand what Medicare is about.
Now, Eric, one of the reasons that Sanders is backing this Medicare for All plan is because he says the current problems with the Affordable Care Act clearly demonstrate that the ACA is not the long-term solution to providing universal access to health care in this country. But there are some Democratic leaders, including House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who argue that the Democrats should make strengthening the Affordable Care Act their number one health care priority. So does this mean that not all Democrats are on board with the Sanders plan?
That's definitely true. And when looking at the Affordable Care Act, so-called Obamacare, I think the area where it has been successful has been increasing access to health care. There's far fewer uninsured people today than there were 10 years ago. What it hasn't done is brought down the costs of health care. Premiums continue to be high. Copays and deductibles continue to be high. The cost of prescription drugs continues to be high. Sanders believes a Medicare for All solution is the way to remedy those difficulties. Pelosi and her colleagues in the Democratic leadership say, well, that may be very good as a long-term goal, but the focus in the short term should be getting away from this situation where the Affordable Care Act is under threat from Republicans all the time, stabilizing it, and doing some things that perhaps could be done to bring the cost down a little bit in the area of prescription drugs, for example.
Eric, it seems that a majority of people in this country have employer-based health care policies. So does this turn out to be a key group for Sanders to win over during this discussion?
Definitely. Somewhat more than half of all Americans receive their health care through an employer-sponsored plan, where the employer pays most of the premiums and the employee pays some. Many Americans who have those kind of policies think it's generally good coverage, although they are concerned about the cost of the premiums and the out-of-pocket costs. But what Sanders will need to do is convince working-age Americans, people under 65, that if we move to a Medicare for All type system, it will provide better health care at a lower cost and won't restrict their choices of doctors or other providers. So that's something he will need to do in the months ahead if he wants to get general public acceptance for his ideas.
Eric, do you think the Medicare for All plan is a central part of Senator Sanders' efforts to make the Democratic Party more progressive on a number of key issues leading up to the 2018 midterm elections and heading into the 2020 presidential election?
Definitely, definitely. Sanders believes that the future for the Democratic Party is moving in a more progressive direction. And there are other Democrats, let's call them the pragmatists as opposed to the progressives, who think the short-term focus should be on winning control of the House of Representatives in 2018. If the Democrats can do that, they would have majorities in all the committees, so could begin holding investigative and oversight hearings into the performance of the Trump administration. They could prevent Republicans in the Senate and Trump administration from passing policies that they think would be harmful to many Americans, and perhaps could even begin impeachment proceedings against the president. For that to happen, Pelosi and the other so-called pragmatists argue, the Democrats need to run candidates who are appropriate for their particular districts. The sort of candidate who favors more progressive policies might be a strong Democratic candidate in a state like California or New York, but may not be a very strong candidate in a state like, let's say, Missouri or Ohio that's more politically competitive. So the argument of the pragmatic Democrats against Sanders and the progressives is, let's focus on winning the House next year and holding our own in the Senate rather than long-term policies that don't do anything about stopping what we believe are harmful programs of the Trump administration and the Republican congressional majority.
So in the end, are we seeing a battle for the heart and soul of the Democratic Party?
I think we are. And I think where we will see this become most acute is as we get into primary season for some of the key House and Senate races next year. Some states start holding their primaries in April, May, and June, and then there'll be another wave of primaries in the fall of next year. And I could see a situation where there are some competitive primaries for possibly winnable House seats or winnable Senate seats, where there's a progressive candidate and a, let's call it, a more centrist or pragmatic candidate, and the two of those will fight it out among Democratic voters. Now, Sanders argues the results of the primaries last year, the presidential primaries, show that progressive candidates can inspire voters more than pragmatic candidates can. And he'll point to election results showing the large turnout he got at his rallies, the strong performance he made, not enough to win the nomination, but the strong performance he made in many parts of the country where Democrats have not traditionally run particularly strong. Sanders did well in many rural areas, for example. So he'll argue there's a constituency out there for progressive ideas, and the Democrats should not give in to the pragmatic centrists.
Senator Sanders is up for re-election next year. He says he hasn't made a final decision about running, but he is fundraising for a campaign, so it's very, very likely that he will run and win. A lot of his supporters, Eric, want him to run for president again in 2020. What do you think the chances are that he'll do that?
Well, I don't think he's going to make any decision on that until after the November 2018 elections. And there will clearly be a strong progressive candidate in the Democratic presidential field in 2020. Will it be Bernie Sanders? Will it be Elizabeth Warren? She's running for re-election to the Senate from Massachusetts also next year. She may have a little bit more difficulty than Sanders, but she's certainly favored for re-election. Then there's other candidates out there, plus Joe Biden, who seems to be, based on some recent speeches, hasn't given up the idea of one more possible campaign for president. So I think that the Democratic presidential race is still very fluid at this time. It will come into focus after the midterm elections. But again, I think the discussion of presidential politics shouldn't detract from the importance of next year's midterms. It's a realistic possibility that the Democrats could pick up the 25 or so seats needed to win the House if they do a good job of recruiting and have candidates who are suited to the particular districts they're running in. And then in the Senate, I think the objective for the Democrats is not so much going to be winning the Senate, but preventing losses, because there are 10 Democratic senators running for re-election from states that Trump won last year.
Eric, a lot of Bernie's supporters are very, very loyal to him. They might not settle for anyone else. Look at their reluctance to support Hillary Clinton last year. Do you think this could influence Bernie to run if he's still in good health?
It possibly could. And the turnout issue, I think, the turnout was lower than expected in November of 2016. And I think the response to some people who may have stayed home is, look at what the results were and, you know, think carefully about the consequences of not voting in 2018 and beyond.
And how about the prospect for Bernie Sanders about running against President Trump? Could that be just a huge factor for Sanders?
It could be. It could be, because, again, Sanders will make the argument that he can appeal to older white working class voters better than any other Democratic candidate. In some instances, actually, his policies on certain trade issues, for example, aren't all that different from Trump and are different from many other Democrats. Obama administration veterans, for example, who supported a lot of international trade deals that Sanders has opposed. So Sanders would argue he could run strongly in states like Ohio and Michigan and Pennsylvania, which were the states that Trump ended up winning narrowly and enabled him to be elected president. At the same time, Sanders would need to demonstrate that he would be sure enough of winning in the traditional Democratic states that he could spend time in those more competitive states without jeopardizing the party's chances in the more traditional Democratic states on the two coasts. The question is going to be, if there is going to be a strong progressive candidate in 2020, can Bernie Sanders do it again, or should Democrats look to a somewhat newer voice like Elizabeth Warren or even somebody else who we haven't talked about in this particular program who might emerge on the scene as a result of a strong congressional or gubernatorial performance or a primary campaign?
It'll be fascinating to see how all of this turns out. Many thanks for being on the program today.
My pleasure, Bob.